Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. I'm going to get into actor James Cromwell has come out and talk. I want to get into his remarks because he's not really backtracked, but he kind of has. But I'll get into that because he's changed what he said and what he meant were two different things. So I'll get into that. 15,000 troops might be deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border. For the caravan. Oh, wow. I want to get into that. I also want to get into the fact that on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi predicted that Democrats will win the House in the upcoming elections. And, of course, Stephen Colbert said, don't jinx it, don't jinx it. Well, that's already dead. But anyways, you know, remember when there was a day when a late night talk show may have like the president on, and that's as far as it went, and the rest was just actors, and it was all fun, and it wasn't political. Remember that? Didn't matter who it was. But that's gone away. A mother counts her blessings after her son has tested positive for meth. 5 years old. Trick or treating. I want to get into that because that's just crazy. Yeah, bridal party brawl. Yeah. You know how they like pick roses? You know, and yes, you're moving on. A bride had that to pick who's in a bridal party. Why? I mean, if I'm the husband, to be, and your wife to me is like, well, we're going to have a little contest. We're going to have a battle royale to see who's going to be in my bridal party. I'd be running from that woman. I'd be running. No, she's going to be that picky and that, like, well, okay, well, now let me see here. Here's question number one. I'll be like, if that's how you're gonna choose, not buy, I can.
Hey, I could have done that.
But you're better than that. She's making them compete. I'd be like, dude, if you want me, then you can have me. If you don't, just let me know, and I'll write you off. That's not way. You should read all the comments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's all like, well, why isn't the husband to be leaving her like instantly? Because, you know, your wedding gift must be like $500.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not a battle royale type thing. She's going. I mean, it's ridiculous what she's demanding.
That is ridiculous.
Like there's seven people. Yeah, she's had. She's narrowed it down. I'll get into that and a whole bunch more with Manchester United and all that. So welcome to the party that you're a part of. What a conversational party. Yes, it is. Psalms 42:11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again. My Savior and my God. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And, you know, when you get down, when the going gets tough, the tough get believing. Believing that you can get change and hope from not Obama, but through prayer and through Jesus Christ. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to this conversation. I hope you feel a part of. I want to get into this really, really quickly because I know I didn't touch about it. I talked a little bit about it, but not many people know this, but a while back ago, like in Indiana near South Bend, the house that was in Roseanne went up for sale. And it's not the house that they did the filming in. It's just the front house that they show. You know, a lot of TV shows, everything's filmed in the studio, but when they show the house at the beginning of the movie, it's an actual house somebody lived in. And the Brady Bunch house recently went on the market, and we had a bidder. And the highest bidder was, believe it or not, HGTV. And they're supposedly going to take the house and bring it back and get it as identical as they can to the way it looked like in the movie. The inside doesn't look like the movie at all, because that's not where they filmed. You know, it's just, they just shot the outside of the house, and the lady that moved into the house where they filmed some of Goonies, she could retire just charging $10 a day to have people go through the house, because she had so many thousands of people coming by the house every day that she's like, stop, I live here, leave me alone. I own the house. Now, one question I would love to ask that lady from the Goonies house is, since it's attached to that movie, did she pay 50 times what the house is actually worth just because it's attached to the movie? Because I'm sure some nutty fan would have paid it. But not me. I mean, the view is gorgeous from up there, but, you know, about it. But so it's going to be interesting to see, like, if they're going to actually, if someone's going to occupy the house, or what HGTV is going to do with it, or they're just going to make it look like the Brady Bunch house and resell it, or what? Is it going to be on one of those, like, fixer-upper shows? You know, where they're like, like White Men Building Houses, I think, is the one show on HGTV. I don't know. Yeah, at work today, we were watching like Alaskan Frontier and all this stuff, and I'm like, there's all this drama on the show. I'm like, I'm sure half of it's scripted. And he goes, I wouldn't doubt it. And I said, you know what? I used to watch that Gold Rush show, like part of the first season. So all they did was fight and argue and piss and moan. That's when I'm like, I'm done with it. If I want to find out how much gold they got, I'll wait till the last episode when they do the gold tally thing. I don't want to watch them fight and argue. And then you find out later that the writer said, well, no one's going to watch it unless people argue and fight and get into each other and complain and piss and moan. And a lot of it was scripted. No matter how much gold you bring up, you know, even if it's record numbers, you got to complain, piss, you know, and it was, you know, and then the one guy left the show and he didn't want to leave the show. You have to leave the show. We got to have drama. No one's going to watch. And, you know, so it's one of, you know, and it's just like, so it's going to be interesting in my little rant on this is with the Brady Bunch house, what's going to happen? You know, like, there's not many people could afford it. It was like $1.22 million or something. But I guess there were a lot of people that looked into it, like a lot of famous people. Now, it'd be cool if that's where they filmed it. But if all they did was the outside of the house is what they used in the shot, then, you know, if that's where they filmed the actual episode, then it'd be kind of neat. But then I have a lot better things I could do with $1.22 million than buy a house. Unless I had $1.2 million to blow and it was like a penny to me and I had hundreds of billions, but then still I couldn't see wasting. But I want to move on, folks. As we talked about on Tuesday, actor James Cromwell remarks about, you know, if the Democrats don't get in, there's going to be blood in the streets and all this, and what he really meant. And I can see him really meaning this. That he goes, well, that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that's what's going to happen. I don't want it. I don't want violence. He is very liberal, but he doesn't want to have people shooting up a GOP office. But he's like, well, that's what's going to happen. If the Democrats don't get a House or Senate, there's going to be violence. They're going to, because, and I kind of agree with him in what he said because of this, because I believe since They can't fundamentally transform America. They started to fundamentally transform America under Barack Obama. And when they couldn't continue that with Hillary Clinton, they gotta transform it fundamentally somehow. How's that going to happen? Right. You know, there's a thing, there's a CBS clip, and it's not a clip, but it just has a photo and it goes, no matter what happens, we'll make Trump look bad. I mean, it's sad. It's like, give credit where credit's due. I mean, I was hoping and praying to God that, you know what, guess what? Look at how great the economy is doing. I was wrong about Barack Obama. The economy is, no, I couldn't do that. No, hey, man, I apologize, man. I thought Obamacare was going to suck, but look at the costs are low. The premiums are great. There's no. Okay, you're going to pay $1,000 every week. It's going to be a $400,000 deductible. You know, well, that's not good. You know, but hey, that's Obamacare. You know, what turned me off from that was when they said he wasn't even having to use it when they were all exempt. I'm like, oh, that's real good. Well, we need health care in this country. Okay, well then, yeah, well, if you think Obamacare is so great, then tell me why did all the politicians make sure they were exempt? Why did they go out of their way to ensure they didn't have to use it? Why did they go out of their way to ensure that they could get codes and numbers to give to their buddies so that they didn't have to use it? It was so wonderful. You know, I was hoping that I was wrong about Obama, that stuff would turn around, and I knew it wouldn't, but I was hoping stuff's going great in this country. We need to find a way to value the dollar, to make the dollar more valuable. But that's not, of course, happening. Last I heard, I was watching a thing on this was an article, what was it? It's the National Report. And they were talking about how there's more jobs than employees. There's like, I mean, employees. So there's like 6,000 people, let's say, looking for, or 6 million looking for work, and there's 7 million jobs. So you can find work. You may not be rolling in the dough, so to speak. You may not be having billions of dollars. Like I said, when Barack Obama was president, I said he could make an executive order to, boom, everyone gets a job with a $40 a week salary. Well, guess what? How can you live on $160 a month? Hey, well, there's zero unemployment. I've said that many times. You know, this country is going in the right direction. I mean, there's a manufacturing plant that manufactures parts for Subaru, a local manufacturer. I've considered looking into it because they say they have $2 a week dental. It's like $20 a month for medical. I don't know what kind of medical that is, because, I mean, unless they pay the rest of it, I mean, if it's a $7,000 million deductible, probably not any good, but, you know, but they're, I mean, on the radio all the time, they're advertising manufacturing jobs, all kinds of work, good jobs, decent pay, like $14-15 an hour. And you can make like $20-25 if you got good skills. And if you're a CNC machinist, folks, there are great jobs out there. If you can get the training to be a CNC machinist or a welder, press operator, you can make good money. You got to work with your hands. You're not going to be a hand model. You're going to be using pumice and lava soap and scrubbing your hands every day and coming home blistered up. But hey, it's going to be a good paycheck. You're not going to be sitting in some cush office. But most people don't want that in today's market. You know, they don't want to get their hands dirty, you know. I came into this world with nothing, and I want the government to give me everything. Teenagers and young kids need to realize money doesn't grow on trees. You have to earn it. You have to make it. You know, I'm sorry that there's the one percenters that's like, well, we got to do something because, you know, Trump is taking away all our freebies. We're actually having to work. Can you believe it? Well, guess what? Maybe if you go to college and you get a degree, you'll come out and there'll be jobs for you waiting. A while for you to be that CEO in the office. Gotta remember, how many large corporations are there in this country? The odds of you being the CEO and making the big, big, big bucks as a chief executive operator are probably the it's not that great. That's the problem in this world. We have, there's too many people want to be the chief and not many people want to be the Indian. I have a degree. I want to be an Indian. No, you don't. Everyone gets a degree so that they think they can be the chief and just sit in that plush multi-billion dollar office with solid gold windows. And yeah, that's a crystal fountain. Yeah. And I don't drink water at work. I drink crystal champagne, you know. So when you turn on the faucet, crystal comes out. Because it's like the billionaire champagne. You know, you can buy crystal champagne that's like $700-$800 a bottle. It's just like Dom Perignon. It's just to make the point that that's what everyone wants. They think they're just going to be this, you know, sitting in there. This carpet cost $400 billion. Yeah, it's handmade. Fiber is individually done and sewn in by hand. In India, by a 2-year-old. Moving on, folks. But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, and there's 5,000 knots per inch. I don't know if people know that, but just really quickly, the rugs that actually are done by knots, depending on how many knots there are per inch, the value goes up, and it's ridiculous how long it takes. Like some of those rugs that they go, oh yeah, the reason why this rug is $25,000 is it takes a year to make and it's done all by hand. Oh. William McGurn was on the America's Newsroom on Wednesday, and he's like, you know, why aren't Republicans, I mean, and not that they're not, but they need to come out more and say, hey, look at the economy is doing great, this is doing great, that's doing great. I will say this about him, because he was a former speechwriter for President Bush. He's great, love him. But it's like, it doesn't matter what we do, no matter what we say. Democrats, we suck to Democrats. Sorry, but we do. Nothing in 100 years is going to get you to change a Democrat's viewpoint. We suck. The country sucks. Obama. I mean, I still have people that post that, you know that Trump's a Nazi. Oh, yeah, my okay, well, I said, how? Okay, prove how. I want someone, if you're a liberal, call in and tell me how Trump is a Nazi when he is pushing Christianity down your throat, which you don't like, which Adolf Hitler tried to abolish Christianity. Who moved the American embassy? Who was big friends with Benjamin Netanyahu? Trump. He hugely supports Jews. But, but Trump's really trying to abolish Judaism. I had somebody actually say, well, you know, like they always say, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. What about Obama then? Did he try to keep you closer? Did he try to, yeah. Whatever. I'm like, yeah, just think of that Obama phone lady who, when the Alex Jones got to her and said, show me all your taxes. Show me all your bills. Everything had gone up like tenfold to her. Well, this is what Obama said, and he could prove to her everything he said was a lie. That's when she's like, wait a minute, but she already voted for him. She's like, it's bullcrap. I mean, where's the media when they're talking about the leave movement, where these people want to leave and get out and leave the Democratic Party? And people are waking up to the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party. Talking to a guy earlier today, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to do because, you know, like, I support Republicans on certain things, but I support Democrats on certain things, and, you know, and it's like, I'm like, well, first of all, you hit the nail on, you pinned the tail on the donkey because you didn't know what to support and all this. I'm like, well, you should, if you're a Democrat and you supported Hillary Clinton, you should not be supporting everything she does. There should be things about Hillary Clinton that, well, I support this about her, but this, no way. You can be a Trump supporter and not support 199% of everything he does. There's going to be things that you're not going to like about Trump. Are you going to like 90% of the stuff he does if you're a supporter? Yeah. I support almost everything he's done. I don't support the fact that he used executive order for a lot of it because it's only a matter of time before a socialist progressive gets in there and he says, okay, yes, I'm going to take away the Second Amendment under executive order. Okay, freedom of speech, I'm going to get rid of with executive order. And he's going to do a bunch of things to executive order that I don't like. And then you're screwed. The whole point of having executive order was, okay, hey, Congress and Senate's on a break, and we have major catastrophes, like there's a war going on, we just got bombed, and we need to sit there and do something fast, and we don't have, you know, to get Congress and Senate back. It wasn't meant to pass 55 million things. Jeff Sessions, I don't like his choice. You know, there's going to be things that you shouldn't agree 100% with every single third person out there. There's a lot of stuff about Glenn Beck I like. There's a lot of things about Glenn Beck I hate. You're not going to, you shouldn't, like, you should be able to listen to Sean Hannity and say, well, yeah, I agree with 95% of what you say, but here's the 5% I disagree with. Or maybe we're kind of on the same page, but not 100%. You know, and it's like, wow, I never think of it like that. Well, you should. I mean, but you have this notion that because you're a conservative, you should like 100% no matter what. Because I have people that think that because I support Trump, I like 199% of exactly everything he's done down. Said, I don't. I like 95% of what he's done, but not 100%. I don't like his choice in Jeff Sessions. I don't like that Hillary Clinton's not being investigator, or there's no trial for her. They haven't gone after Obama. But that's no here nor there. I mean, you look at Tiff, and I was like, as I wrap this little segment up, you need to agree and disagree with certain things. I mean, you shouldn't sit there and, if you're a Hillary supporter, support 100% of everything she does. You know, but it comes back to this notion that no matter what we, you know, the Republicans can take all the credit you want for the economy, but it doesn't matter because most liberals are never going to believe, no matter, I mean, it doesn't, you know, well, the earth is round. Okay, whatever. You know, if Donald Trump came out saying the earth is round, I'd love to just hear what liberals say. And hello, folks. I don't know if you heard this, folks. Welcome back to CNN. I'm Wolf Blitzer, but Trump just said that the earth is round. Can you believe that? I mean, doesn't he know it's flat? Now we got our chief geologist expert here. Well, yeah, you know, Wolf, I tell you what, it was just really hilarious when I heard Trump in a campaign rally talk about how the earth is round. You know, it's just totally preposterous. I mean, you and I know both know that the earth is flat. You know, the only reason why we don't fall off the end is because of gravity. I mean, you know, just to see what they would say. I mean, Trump just needs to, but I mean, they already think he's Looney Tunes just because he's a conservative, where if he was a Democrat, they'd praise his butt. I mean, that's what I hate the most. If Hillary was doing everything Trump was doing, they'd praise her for it. I remember when they said, we would kiss Sarah Palin's butt and think she was Jesus Christ if she was a liberal. Not if she changed what she believed or her stance or what she said. If she was a liberal, they would kiss her ass. Because she's a conservative, they throw her under the bus and crap on her and throw rocks at her and rotten fruit. She's nothing. She needs help. Oh my God. She's Looney Tunes.
Well,
that's why you have these kids that when you read something, who said that? Oh, that's probably Sarah Palin or Trump or some conservative. No, that was Hillary Clinton that said that.
Huh?
A lot of these things that you march. Okay, Trump hasn't done. That's what I want to get into right now, because this is the thing that irritates me. A lot of this border issue stuff, Trump didn't do 99% of this stuff. All these laws that all these things that Trump is doing with the border, he's enforcing laws that are already in place. It's amazing how many people are going after Trump for enforcing laws that are already on the books. He didn't all of a sudden say, okay, yeah, we need to have, like, some sort of immigration thing, you know, we need to have, like, no. A lot of these immigration laws and things are already on the books. He's just trying to fix ones where people come here illegally, have a kid, and then, okay, well, it's a legal citizen, so I need to stay, too. You know, these border jumpers that try to make it here with a baby illegally so that they can claim the kid is a U.S. citizen, and then it's one of those things that people, I don't know, maybe people someday will wake up. Maybe they'll wake up. And I think Trump is waking some of these leftists up to say, hey, wait a minute here. I'm not seeing what's going on. I don't see. There's still the majority of people that have a belief. Okay, I'm a Democrat. Trump sucks no matter what. He's a newsie. Him and Bush are newsies. You know, people get that South Park joke, the newsie, but, you know, it's they can't sit there and look at things constructively, okay? What was a Nazi, and what is Trump? Well, he's trying to break down freedom of speech and all this stuff, and the media, he's going after them, he's attacking the media. Well, if the media was fair and unbiased and actually reported the news honestly, he would have no problem with them. But, you know, when you have the media that can't say one good thing about Trump, no matter what he does, you know, the media, it's like I said with the North Korea thing. Okay, if we didn't do anything with North Korea and they bombed us, well, guess what? Trump didn't do anything to protect America, and North Korea bombed us and millions died. But if he would have attacked first, they would have said, well, look, here we go, another conservative, another war. No matter what Trump says, no matter what he does, he can't win. He needs to find a way to put the ball in their court. Like, okay, you know, like in a restaurant, well, some people bitch. The same person that bitches that there's no anchovies in the Caesar salad, the next time you have the Caesar salad, he'll complain that they're on there. If you know, and put it in their hands. Well, we have anchovies. If one of them goes on the salad, if you don't, we don't. That way the customer has to make the choice, and it's not, well, I'm mad because there's no anchovies in the Caesar. Well, we put anchovies in the Caesar, sure, and last time you bitched that they were on there. You take them off, and now you're complaining that they're not on. You know, he needs to try to find a way to put the ball in their court. You know, sorry if this anti-America, anti-Trump news is actually
being banned.
I mean, it's crazy. I want to get into this because this is far from, you know, oh, they can't say anything good. I hope Trump is assassinated. A Missouri lawmaker faces mounting calls to resign after Facebook comments. I never wanted Obama dead. But I didn't want him dead, yeah. It's not like I'm going to sit there and like, oh, please, please, oh, God, please, I want him assassinated, please. Someone just chop off his head, please. Someone just, like, mutilate him, please. Oh, where's Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Where's that guy? Oh, I want him. No, I didn't agree with him, but no. But, you know, oh, I hope he gets assassinated. I hope someone just shoots him. I hope someone, you know, because, you know, because Trump is... Yeah, Trump is the poster child of the KKK, really, or Aryan Brotherhood, yep, you know. You know, they burn the cross to symbolize the light of God and the light of Jesus. They don't sit there and burn a statue of Trump. You know, Trump is not... You know, it's funny how Trump's racist, but then you have someone like Hillary Clinton that was hugely best friends with Reverend Byrd, the high-ranking KKK official in the Democrat Party. I mean, if there are high-ranking KKK members Democratic Party, but no one cares. No one talks about it. Why? Why? See, but I mean, I think the Democrat Party has lost their way big time. Because, okay. And if anyone out there can tell me this one, you know, chime in, write me, you know, you know how to get a hold of me, my listeners do. But how, okay, if you don't agree with Trump, what is the left saying? What is the left saying in terms of fixing? Okay, well, yeah, well, this is what Trump has done that we disagree with. This is how we would fix this economy. This is how we would, how would you make the economy better since it's not doing great? How would you make the stock market better since it's not great, since it's not high enough, since it's not good enough? What would you do to make unemployment lower? How would you lower the unemployment rate, even though it's lower than it was under Obama? How would you lower the unemployment rate? How would you do that? How would you do that? Because obviously, I don't hear Democrats saying, well, this is our plan to fix the economy, to get it going. They're just bashing Trump because that's all they can do, because the economy's not bad. I wish we could find a way to make the dollar more valuable. So that a $12 an hour job is a very high paying job. Case. They can't even, I mean, all they're doing is bashing Trump. They're not saying, hey, well, this is how I'd fix the economy. This is what I'd do. This is what I'd do to make North Korea better. North Korea is going in the right direction. It's got a ways to go. But when you have people, like when you have these professors, they're like, oh, we need to assassinate Trump, or yeah, teachers that take that Trump shirt off. I'm like, no way. I say, good luck, if it ain't coming off. It's, you know, but that's just the world we live in. You know, they can't do anything good. This is just crazy. Bride to be reportedly makes friends compete for the bridal party spots. A potential bridezilla in the making is catching heat online for reportedly challenging her family and friends to duke it out in order to win a place at the bridal party, demanding that the shower that they shower her with presents and parties that they want to stand by her side on the big day. So I'm like, who can give the most? Who can do the most?
She wouldn't want what I give her.
That's what I'm saying. Like, an anonymous Reddit user shared a tale in a post Monday claiming to be the bride's sister, and it has since been liked over 550 times and sparked over 150 comments. My sister is getting engaged and is having a potential bridal party battle. You know, kind of to battle it out so that she has one less thing to worry about before the engagement, the woeful offer begins. According to Yahoo, the unnamed Redditor shared images to the texts of her sister. They have since been removed, which challenged seven friends to battle for four spots in her bridal party. Congrats, you made it to the final round of the bridal party brawl. Currently, there are seven players left and only four spots available. The bride-to-be allegedly wrote, to secure your spot in the wedding party, the following things will be required. I promise to host a party. Must be couples at a venue other than someone's house. Your wedding gift must be, or check must be, at least $500. You must buy me or a partner a day of gifts at least $100 and all kinds of stuff. And a lot of these comments came out were like, is that husband to be, if he's not wanting the ring back? I mean, if my wife was like, you know what, I couldn't have married my wife if she was someone that was like, okay, wait a minute here. You're going to wear those shoes? No, you're not. You're not getting married in those shoes. Those pants? No, I've already picked out your tux.
we're going to have a... We're all going to wear, but there was no fighting over it. I wasn't that, oh my God.
I mean, this is no disrespect to anything. And I think I've said this before, but for me, when it hit midnight on the millennium, I was plating desserts at a restaurant. And I lost all respect. I lost all, not my wedding day, but like every day was just like, so, you know, whatever, you know, it's just like another day to me. And my wedding day was like, it's a very, very, very special time in my life and my wife's life, but it's not like the be all end all. Like, if everything's not perfect, you know, it's like, I got these, like, because I watched some YouTube videos, because we did a balloon release. So I got these, like, big, like, 22-inch or 24-inch Qualitex, like, clear ones, and I tried to inflate them with, like, one of each color inside. It didn't turn, they weren't usable.
Did we complain?
No, I just laughed it off. I'm like, hey, I'm not an expert.
We have had two nieces get married since our wedding. Yay, I got married to four of my nieces. Anyway. the wisdom I pass on to them, crap is going to happen on your wedding day. Look for it. Make it a joke. Have fun with it. Don't let it ruin your day. My parents were late, what, an hour, hour and a half? Because they got in front of a car accident. I was thankful they weren't in the accident.
Yeah.
Did it ruin my day? No. It was guilt thing, because I get to get guilt them and say, hey, you were an hour and a half late for your only daughter's wedding. And I get to make them feel bad. No. On a lighter note, it was a family joke.
The thing that it did for me was I got it to where it was like a, whoop, oh, wow. Like it got me to pause, because it was like going like 1,000 miles an hour. Like, okay, there's that like 5 minute break. Okay. And I still said I do twice. I still screwed it up. And me and my wife, that's our rolling joke. Would you say I do again? We already said it twice.
Right. I mean, you got to expect it and look at it. Everything's not going to be perfect. What's going to ruin it is the attitude.
Exactly. And like I told Kara, one of my nieces that got married, I said, dude, just know this. If you plan something or you're going to do something and you forget, you're the only one that's going to know.
Exactly.
No one's going to know. It's not like, okay, folks, here's your script. Here's your script for the wedding. It's 1,700 pages. Make sure you memorize it because you're going to have a quiz on it. No. But, yeah. I want to get into this one because this just makes me sick to my stomach. Let me see if I can find the article. Let me see if I can even find it. I know. The trick or treat story. Oh, here it is. Let me get this. Five-year-old boy tests positive for meth after eating Halloween candy. A five-year-old boy in Ohio is expected to make a full recovery after he ate a piece of Halloween candy that was possibly laced with the drug meth. Braylon Carwell, who was hospitalized for suspected seizure and later tested positive for methamphetamines, had gone trick-or-treating on Sunday before he suddenly fell ill. The left side of his face was still droopy, and then he fell and could not move his left arm. Julie Pence, the boy's mother, told WSYX-TV, and he didn't know where he was. He didn't know what he was doing. The Gillian Police Department, which is investigating the incident, collected the boy's candy and fake vampire teeth that he had been wearing. The department issued a warning to other residents in the town, reminding parents to check their child's candy and other non-candy items, like rings, bracelets, necklaces, and fake teeth. And I guess they're going to go to the different houses where he was supposedly to see if there's any reports of tampering or anything. And I don't know. Just, I mean, it makes you afraid. It makes you like, okay, well, I remember people used to make like popcorn balls and stuff like that and hand them out. Now you're probably going to be afraid to trick-or-treat now. I'd be scared to have a kid go trick-or-treat, you know? Okay. Is there a way that we can make sure that these candies are, like, hermetically sealed? It's sad. What's this world coming to? Okay, let's lace some candy and give it to a kid. And the guy's probably like at home going, damn it, where'd my meth go? And He was so messed up, he gave it to a kid. You know? Heck, I'd be afraid to accept a glow stick from somebody. Well, what is this painted? I don't know. I mean, I lived in a different generation where you could play with lawn darts and not be afraid of getting hurt. I mean, I do remember there were scares of needles and candy and stuff, and hospitals were x-raying candy for free.
They were just doing that to stop people from missing stuff, and you have to buy store bought. I'm serious. That's what he was saying.
Oh, that this Halloween story is a fake?
That a lot of them are, but there's no actually poisonings or. Honey, this one just happened.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah, this is real, but some of them they believe are just put out there so that you don't accept.
There's one that pixie stick has cyanide in it, but actually it's proven that the father gave the kids the pixie sticks after he put the cyanide in it and killed the kid.
Yeah.
And he was killed.
And that's the thing. They don't know. It could be the parents that did it. We have no idea. But that, I mean, this is a real incident. We just don't know who's at fault or whatever, you know. I still remember one day, I'm going as an all-black ninja. We could have white on you, and as soon as you left, you ripped the reflective tape off. Well, we better come home with that reflective tape on there. You're going to get your ass whipped. Oh, the good old days when we're at my buddy's waiting for one of our friends to go trick-or-treating with us, and he comes up, and the guy trick-or-treating goes, "Hey, that's our pumpkin." He took some pumpkin off of a guy's front porch, and the guy was at my buddy's house. And that's my pumpkin. What the heck? Here, have it back. Oh, the good old days. Those were the days. I'm surprised they don't have some sort of like virtual reality trick-or-treating. That way your kids don't have to go out. They probably get exhausted trick-or-treating because that's probably one of the few times they actually go outside and do something outdoors. Because they have all these commercials like play 60, go outside. And we played like, you couldn't get us inside. You know, now I've been over to a couple people's houses and they have like kids and they spend 24/7 on a computer game, you know. Okay, I'm going into the room, okay. Okay, bring up my kit. Got my Thunder Armor, and then they're playing like some sort of like virtual reality. I'm like, dude, it's like 70 degrees outside. You should be outside. What the heck? But that's how it works. You know, it's a different day and age. Oh, Lord, if rumors are true, and they could be, we'll have to wait and see, but if rumors are true, Mourinho is being handed possibly $100 million for the transfer window in January. That is coming from very reliable sources, like the BBC.
Very reliable sources had him out 3 weeks ago.
We'll have to wait and see.
I don't believe it.
I don't either. But like Sky Sport and I guess BBC is reporting that he is. But then he won, and I don't know. I honestly see Jose Mourinho there till the end of the season. Whether he stays, that's a whole other ballgame. I want him gone. This up and down, up and down, up and down is what's that. The consistently being inconsistent is what's up. I mean, there's evidence that that basically Mourinho has come out and said that he wants to, that, you know, look at what Alexis Sanchez did at Arsenal, and he's come here and he hasn't done anything. And some people say that, I mean, we were on a decent path. We would have still gotten second place either way, but we would have been that, like, we were doing decent, not great, but decent. And we were semi-consistent. And then when Alexis Sanchez came in, it was kind of like, okay, we put a great player in the mix and he just couldn't gel with everybody. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't know what to make of this $100 million transfer. I mean, if he gets it or not. If we are not down, if we lose like three games and we go into the next international break with like three losses and they keep him, then I think he's there till the end of his contract. Real Madrid has been rumored to be very interested in him, and that would be amazing because we could give Jose Mourinho to Real Madrid. They'd be happy. We could get someone new. We'd be happy. And there you go. It would suit all parties. And there's talk that they're seriously interested in him. And since Real Madrid is interested in Jose Mourinho, it may get to the point where, hey, we're not just going to get rid of Mourinho. Mm-mm. Oh, we got to keep him now. If Real wants him, then there's something up with him. And that's another issue. I mean, if Real Madrid is really, like they've kind of hinted at, very interested in taking Mourinho, is that going to sway the owners of Manchester United to say, well, guess what? No, we're not just going to get rid of him now. No, he's too valuable of a commodity if Real Madrid wants him. This season, I think, is in the tank for Real Madrid, so whatever. But go ahead.
Well, this isn't Premier League.
Hold on. My wife has something to say.
Writing from the Washington Post, I just found this. A mom asked a stranger and her son to leave a public park because it's official girl time only or girl only playtime. Please, women, for the love of God, teach your boys to be men and your girls to be girls, meaning that I have two great nephews and two great nieces, three nephews, four nieces. If my niece came and told me that a boy hurt her, I would believe her, but I want it investigated, meaning get the police involved. If my nephews had a girl say that he did something to them, that better be investigated, too. It's equal both sides. Just because a woman, don't even get me started, this is bull crap. This girl time crap, this white men or men are evil crap. Do you know that you wouldn't be born if you didn't have a daddy? I'm just putting that out there.
I would go there and say, ma'am, this is guy time, so get your, you know what? Get your twins and get the F, you know what? You're not allowed here. I'm calling the police. Hello, this is mail time, and there's two chicks in the park. I need them gone immediately, or else I'm going to shoot. Got 5 minutes to get here.
I mean, just saw that, and I lost it. I'm sorry. Go on with your Premier League, please.
My wife lost it. Yes, if anyone wants to be a producer, because my wife has lost it, she's gone off the deep end. Just kidding. Because I agree with her 1,000,000%. What's wrong? I don't understand this world. I don't get it. Oh man, I just want to talk about that now. But it's
we'll talk about that more.
Tuesday we'll talk about that definitely more, because, you know, I just hope the liberal media doesn't catch it and run with it. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with this team, because, I mean, that I was getting into this, and what if they say that? What if they say, okay, well, look at this. If Real Madrid's interested in Mourinho, then, we'll sell him. Name your price. They want $100 million, whatever. You wonder if they're going to try to keep Mourinho now that Real Madrid looks interested in him. Instead of saying, hey, we're one step, but Mourinho and United are one step away from getting back into the possibility of being in the top four, but they're one step away from going backwards. Thanks, because it's not like, I don't want United to lose, but it's like, okay, hey, we're one step away from, hey, you know, we're at the point where they need to do something with Mourinho. And then he wins, and oh, look. I'm like, well, I don't care about that one win. Look at these four losses. It's like, okay, we have two losses and we have two wins and six losses. Okay, come on. Since Alex Ferguson left, we have less than 200, we have 167 goals at home in 200 games. Not even a, we're less than a goal a game at home. I mean, something's got to change. Either it's United keeping Mourinho and things turn around, or what? I don't know. Because I was excited to get Alexis Sanchez. I was ecstatic to get him. But then he hasn't done anything like he did at Arsenal. I mean, Jose needs to go to Arsene Wenger. What did you do? Why was he so successful for you, not for us? I don't know. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the conversation that I hope you're a part of, and I'm glad you are. Just remember, folks, love everybody. Love one another. Be there for each other. You know, crap that's going on. Don't feed all that. Don't fall for it. You know, just like I heard a story of a lady that, oh, my house is possessed by demons. And this lady went up to her, oh, well, sell your house and give me all your possessions and they'll all go away. And this lady sold her house and gave her all the money and everything, and it was a scam. Remember, with a firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Till next Tuesday, good night, and God bless. Goodbye.